Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello and welcome to Tender Loving Care with your host, myself, Pauline, and my darling Kate. Every week, Kate and I break down a show from the TLC network, the name of the network that I believe for the longest time was an acronym for Tender Loving Care. And when I found out that it actually stood for the Learning Channel and I saw the types of shows that are on that channel, my deep confusion bred this podcast. Each week, Kate and I will randomly select a show to cover for the next episode by spinning our beautiful Wheel of Shame, which has only the trashiest of trash TLC and Discovery Plus shows that we will be studying.
Hi, shirt twin.
Okay, guys, so we get on our Zoom and do our pre-pod chat. Mm-hmm. And last week was our first week back together, and you were wearing this tie-dye. I couldn't really see like the sweater. I was wearing something else. I went and changed and got like near match. If you go and look on YouTube, you'll see we had like near match. Today we're doing pre-pod talk. I see her wearing a shirt and I'm like, I've got it in my wardrobe. So I walk out, put it on, I come back, and we're literally twins right now. Kate, I think we should do this for every single pod, wear exactly the same top. It would be so good.
It seems that we have very similar
apparently
shirts. Yeah.
Apparently our wardrobes are similar, just like our taste in shit TV, you know. it's amazing. So Kate, thank you for stepping in yesterday. Sorry guys, I could not be with you to discuss 90 Day Fiance. And Kate, admittedly, I haven't even watched the episode. I didn't have time, and then we were going to record and I was like, is there any way you could do it solo? So thank you for doing that, guys. I will catch up.
You're welcome. It was a good episode. And
was
it? It was the most controversial thing, of course, being Rob the Knob just being an absolute jerk about her sexuality.
Being bisexual. I knew it. Okay, I'm going to predict what happened. Honest to God, I have not watched it. What I have seen online is just, we got a DM from one of our great listeners who said, I can't wait to hear your reaction about Rob the Knob and what he said. And I wrote back something like, can't wait, whatever. I had predicted the week before, Kate, so before you came back, I had said we had Sophie getting nervous about telling Rob that she was bisexual. And I said, I'm calling it right now. What's going to happen is he's going to go ding, 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 ding. She hid something from me, which means I can use that to my benefit to be a victim because I've done so much shady shit. I've always looked like the shit one, but I'm going to twist this now as she's done something wrong. And he's going to associate bisexuality with being promiscuous. Am I right?
all of the above.
He
hit every
knew it.
Insulting thing that a bi person hates to hear. It's like
slutty, gonna.
Yep. Yeah, why didn't you tell me about this? You're not actually queer. All women think other women are beautiful.
No, he didn't do that one.
Yes. And then he's like, I can just see in 5 or 10 years, you're going to just want to go off and fuck some woman. And she's like, I would never do that to you. If I did feel like I needed to explore that, I would come to you and talk about my feelings. And he's like, well, that wouldn't happen. If you're going to hook up with a woman, I'm going to be there. I mean, it was.
I can't believe he is a caricature of himself. Maybe it's good for my blood pressure. I didn't watch that episode actually. Yeah. Because he's just that guy that you knew would say that. Mm-hmm. I would understand completely if he was like, whoa, I didn't know your sexuality and I think that's something you should have told me. Fair enough if that was his reaction, right? Because if you're being in a relationship with someone, you would imagine that you knew their sexuality. Fair enough. But then going down the list and checking every single box of stereotypes that he could say is...
He acts like it's something that's happening to him instead of her. She just wants to be fully seen by the person she's about to marry, I think. And also, he's like, why didn't you tell me this 2 years ago? Well, she's just now figuring out her sexuality. She's only 23.
So, and
remember that one of the first episodes, one of her best friends didn't even know. I mean, she's just now coming out and figuring it out. And yeah. So
yeah, I keep saying that she really annoys me, but I forget how young she is. She's 23.
Yeah.
She's a kid.
Yes.
So listen, I said, if she is using him, marrying him, get that green card. It couldn't happen to a better person. I hope it is happening to Rob. I hope she uses him for that green card and she's living her best life. Like, couldn't happen to a better knob than Rob. Oh,
and to add insult to injury, he completely embarrasses her at the jewelry shop when they go to buy a ring.
I don't know if I can watch this episode.
What's the cheapest ring you have? Type of stuff. Yeah.
Do they end up getting a ring?
Yeah, $250 hideous plain ring. Yeah. It's so mortifying.
I hope she took that green card and ran. All right. Thank you for that. I have to skip that one, guys. I might have to get more summary notes from Kate. I don't think I can watch all of that.
Yeah.
I do want to start off. It is something very sad that I do just want to acknowledge because we are in the TLC world. And I think it is important that we talk about it. Extremely, extremely sad news that the star, the sister of Honey Boo Boo, from her long-running show, Here Comes Honey Boo Boo, her eldest sister, Anna, passed away just a couple of days ago at 29 from cancer. She had a husband and 2 children. Just
so sad.
Ugh. Incredibly, incredibly tragic. And I think that young woman, you know, the children are only like 8 and 11. I mean, it's heartbreaking. So there's a lot of pain there, but I just thought we had to mention, because they're such a huge part of TLC, to think where it all started. I mean, she started on Toddlers and Tiaras, that horror show, and then of course she got the big show, and their life has been touched by so much, a lot of stuff. You know, the mother ended up breaking up with that husband or partner, and then she had a massive spiral into drugs, mm-hmm. and she came out of that. But I think at the end of Anna's life, they were all together. Mm-hmm. Her mother was present and back in her life because they were estranged for a bit. And just wishing everyone peace with that. It was extremely sad. Well, young woman.
Yes, I wish the same. There's been a lot of hardship.
Yeah, that has.
Them and wishing them peace in this time.
Absolutely. Another TLC star that's had some good news recently, that's also certainly had their history of troubles, is your fave, £1,000 Sisters. There are no longer £1,000 Sisters. I mean, the name doesn't even fit them anymore. The amount that Tammy's lost is insane.
It is.
Apparently, go Tammy. The new season started either last night or tonight. So, Kate, you need to get your eyeballs on it.
I do.
See what's going on with the gals.
I will be watching that tonight or tomorrow for sure.
Good. Well, we're going to dive into our show from Wheel of Shame. And guys, this is so nice to get back into the warm, cozy comfort where all of this whole podcast started back in our Wheel of Shame shows. And before we do, I'm going to do a little tiny mini segue because it's very timely into Bravo. Now, guys, very quickly, I'm not going to take long on this. Real Housewives of Salt Lake City, as Kate and I have been watching it, we've said, amazing season. Everything's been brilliant. The season started with a to come on this season, Heather Gay finding out something explosive, right? And a phone call while they're in Bermuda. They're currently in Bermuda. I think the secret's going to come out this week or next week. This is why I had to mention it. I had a theory since it began that I believe nobody knows that Monica put Jen Shah in prison and they find that out on the trip and then everything explodes. I kept saying to you, Kate, that's what I think happened, because to back that up, nobody in the fights has mentioned at all that Monica did this. And I think that it would have been brought up by now. Then a couple of weeks ago, you know, I was filling you in on the fact that Monica was suing Beauty Lab and Laser. So Heather and Monica, so a lot of Bravo fans are like, that's what she finds out. She finds out in Bermuda that they are, that Monica's suing her. And so we were kind of like, oh, that's probably what it is. Then I go on to Instagram to an extremely popular Instagram account, of which I do not have the name in front of me. I'm so sorry. I have it. I'm going to put it on our Instagram, though. It has a ton of followers. It's not a podcast. It's an Instagram page of Bravo. It's like Bravo. It's not Bravo Scientist, but it's one of those really well-known ones. They did a whole post about, see, I think our theory's right, that they find out that Monica put Jen Shah in prison in Bermuda. So I write underneath, oh my God, somebody else thinks this. Like, it isn't just us. And I backed up our theory of why we think that. And there's a lot of support. So I just want to say that I believe we were the first ones to think it. That's all.
We can roll the footage.
Roll the package. I mean, we
watch
honestly,
the show.
Watch the show. Name them. I mean, whatever you want to do. I just want to put that out there. That's a little bit of Bravo things, but we shall see this week or next what really blows up.
I can't wait. Do you want me to quickly tell you the cast of The Single Life and give me your quick reactions?
Go ahead. Please go ahead with this. Snippets. So this is 90 Day Fiance, new season, Single Life.
Yes. The Single Life season 4. It's premiering on New Year's Day, 8/7 yes. Central.
8/7 Central. I will give you my quick fire responses. Let's see what immediately comes to mind.
All right, we have Debbie of Debbie and Osama, 68, Georgia.
No, overplayed. Mm-mm.
Okay. We have John, 40, from Nevada. And if you'll remember, he is Patrick's brother, Patrick and Thais.
End of story. Nope, the Boston accent, even though I love my Bostonians. Nope, I didn't like him at all. He's super awkward. It's going to be uncomfortable to watch. He thinks he's going to be wasted the entire time. Out. Nope. Next.
He made me laugh a couple of times, so I have a small sparkle of hope for him. But
okay.
But I can see it going either way. Tyrae, 33, California.
We wanted him on it, so yes, I'm okay with Tyrae.
Absolutely. He's the one, listeners, who got catfished by Carmella. We have Chantal of Pedro and Chantal.
Enough, go away. You have had like a spin-off and been on 10 seasons. Enough, go away. No, even though I love her breasts. Those breasts, I can't stop watching them. Sorry, no, I objectify all these people, but I can't help it. But no, enough, go away.
She's stunning. Okay. Tim.
Right. What do you think I'm going to say? That little hideous garden gnome needs to take his bad eyeliner, his ripped up 2001 club promoter jeans and piss off. No, no, and no.
His, I have to send you his promo photo from for the season because he looks like a second-rate magician. Okay. And then
Hate that guy.
Veronica of Tim and Veronica.
What are we doing? Bottom of the barrel, dude. Bottom of the barrel.
And
You can
she's dating
Jamal.
Jamal.
Why can we not get Kimbali? I'd rather see Kimbali and her weird, dusty Michael Jackson collection than her son dating Tim's ex. What are we doing?
Well, fear not, because rounding out the cast, we have
She's back.
Natalie.
She's
She's
back.
back.
She's back. She's looking better than ever. She looks amazing.
She
But she's
does.
gonna be back. And she's still chasing that weird Vegas guy that runs a Bobo multi-level marketing scams. I'm supposedly that
Well,
I think.
and it says as Natalie tries to build a life with Josh in LA, she begins to realize that Josh's lifestyle might not be conducive to her future.
God, if I bumped into her in LA, woo,
Oh,
the times I would have.
I think people in general are the audience is sick of Natalie, but I can't get
Oh,
I think she's so entertaining.
I'm fine with her too. I'm absolutely fine with her. Her
Yeah.
weird self-conscious body movements, her intense insanity, until where she still never opens her jaw. I love her, so I'm fine with Natalie. But the 95% of that car should be scrapped.
Yeah, Tyrae, Natalie, yes, maybe that Boston guy.
Yeah, that's it. I'm only having the Boston guy if he sh shows loving and care and brings on the Pomeranian that Thais and her brother got. That's the only way I'll
Ooh,
watch it.
yes, we need a Pom cameo.
All right, so thank you for that, Kate. You have my very non-biased, caring, gentle opinions on all those people.
Thank you.
Why don't you go into the description of the show that the Wheel of Shame chose for us many moons ago?
I'd love to. So the show that we are going to be reviewing today is called A Ghost Ruined My Life. Excuse me, Eli Roth presents
Thank you very much.
A Ghost Ruined My Life. And this is
I'll get
how
on to him in a minute, but carry on.
This is how Discovery Plus describes the show. Eli Roth presents true stories of hauntings that have shattered the lives of the people who have experienced them, equal parts terrifying and evocative. Roth exposes the real-life horror of paranormal survivors dragged to hell and back.
Does he? Does he? Kate, it was great in theory. Oh, I mean, let's get into this. So you chose an episode for us. It was season one, episode eight, and it was called The White Lady or something, right?
That's right.
It's to my note taking. It was called The White Lady or something, right? Now, Eli Roth, let's get into him for a little moment, please. When I think of Eli Roth, this is what I think of. I think of jet black hair, early 2000s. We're talking 2002 to 2008. That's early 2000. That's where we're going with Eli Roth. 2002 to 2008. We are going to Hostel. We are going to lot him being the face of gore porn or murder porn or whatever it was called, Hostel, torture porn. With all of these horrific films that were produced around that time of young, attractive women getting sexually tortured and tortured.
Grindhouse, cabin fever, that stuff.
But not even that. I just felt, and I always had a, now, I'm not one to gossip, and I'm not one to cast aspersions on anyone, as you know, Kate.
Never.
Never. I always thought there was something weird about him. Now, this was based on, really digging deep here, guys. He once dated Peaches Geldof, who has now passed away. But Peaches Geldof was an English socialite, son of Bob Geldof, who was in the Boomtown Rats, And she was like very young and he was into his like late 30s when she dated him. I got a vibe from him that there was, he definitely has like a basement in his house where stuff goes down. That, not good stuff either. We're not talking nice basement fun stuff. We're talking bad, bad. Like he is going around a la 8mm Nicolas Cage movie, which is fabulous if you haven't seen it, finding and paying a lot of money for snuff movies. By the way, this is all alleged. I'm not saying any of this is true. Sorry. Just want to put that out there. That's the vibe I always got from him. So when I saw this, I was like, suddenly, it all came flooding back to me, Kate. It all, like a wave. All these emotions of Eli Roth came back to me. And I also went, what the fuck happened to Eli Roth? Where did he go?
He's making these for Discovery Plus. This just came out a couple of years ago.
But he was a proper producer, writer, director of Hollywood movies, and he vanished.
I don't know.
I think, you know what, I couldn't be bothered to do that much research, but I did, just went through memory, just went by memory and cut and rumors. But I do think there was a scandal. Kate looks like she's busy looking it up now. I feel like he had something come out, and this could just be in all of my own fantasies that I was proven right about something for once. But I do feel like there was some scandal because, Kate, he was fucking massive, dude. He was doing all a blockbuster, like summer blockbuster, Halloween blockbuster torture stuff, and he vanished. And I think something came, there was a lawsuit, or I feel like there was something that came out about him.
There's a Complex article, complex.com, entitled, "Remember that time when Eli Roth fucked the internet? Eli Roth has a questionable sexual history on the internet."
Yeah, ding dong!
Okay, oh, that's right. And he was in Inglourious Bastards.
He was, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's Tarantino, dude. That's Tarantino.
Yeah. Like,
so he did something. He fucked someone off. He did something wrong. Pardon my French.
He was sending...
Yeah,
this article is saying something about him sending semi-undressed pictures of himself to fans on like Twitter, MySpace, LiveJournal.
Yeah.
It's mentioning a cyber orgy. People have screenshots of very not safe for work messages.
Yeah, I knew it. See, guys, I am never wrong.
This haunting sentence. "The night ended with a lone, sad jizz tissue, which Roth took a picture of alongside the message, 'Pics or it didn't happen. Good morning, blueberries.'"
No wonder he's on Discovery Channel. I mean, that is the level
now it's he all deserves. Clicking.
Now, this is the level he deserves to be at. Creating a ghost ruined my life for Discovery Channel.
So that
15 years later.
That tissue photo was in 2009, apparently.
Yeah. See, what did I say? I said he went from 2002 to 2008 and then messed it all up.
Okay.
Guys, the information we give you, thank you for your diligent work there, Kate. So quick with the research.
Anytime.
See, so that's my first thought on this.
Woo! So Eli Roth presents. So now he's doing these. So like we said, this one's called Eli Roth Presents A Ghost Ruined My Life. But he's done very similarly named ones. Like there's Eli Roth Presents My Possessed Pet.
Whoa. We're not going past that one so quickly. Rewind. What was that called?
My Possessed Pet.
How the mighty have fallen. You are in a Tarantino film, dude. And you are now... It's that jizz tissue.
Good morning, blueberries. And then Eli Roth presents The Legion of Exorcists. So there's a couple of these
Dude.
Similar, you know, half interview, half recreation type of shows.
Wow. Wow, wow, wow. So, I mean, that's what we should say. It says at the top of this, we chose this one. I mean, we could honestly have just put this whole podcast about Eli Roth. That's for another day. We'll put that on a paywall. We'll put that behind a paywall because of the inflammatory stuff we'll say about Eli Roth. Yeah. So it starts off by saying, you know, this is real stories, real victims. And then you do see the woman that we are going to hear about, Amber Gilmore. We see her sit down for an interview. So I'm hopeful at this point, Kate. I'm like, okay, good. We're actually getting somebody face to face. And it is not a show that I'd seen before, which was very, very well done. It was in a similar vein. It was about a haunting that had happened to them. And it's the person sits down in a circle with all of their friends and kind of recounts what happens to them. It was a really interesting show. If anyone knows what that show was, I swear it was like Discovery Plus, but it was actually done very, very well. Mm. But I thought that was going to be this, but it wasn't. So she sits down, Amber Gilmore, and I'm like, all right, we've got it. So we see the woman. First scene opens is, this is reconstruction as well. And it's silent, and you just see the actress in this reconstruction walk into her kitchen. The tap's been running. She turns the tap off, leaves. Tap turns on again. She walks back in, turns it off, turns around, and all the furniture has been piled on top of the kitchen table. Straight out of Poltergeist, terrifying stuff.
Yes. And then it cuts back to real Amber Gilmore, and she starts kind of going back to the beginning of how this all started. Mm-hmm. So she's a young single mom. She just got a fancy new job, new boyfriend. And she has a young daughter, like a mm-hmm. 5-year-old maybe.
Mm.
And she has a side hustle where she goes on Facebook Marketplace and finds old antique furniture and fixes it up and flips it.
Mm-hmm.
And so she's online one day and she spots this gorgeous Victorian style antique vanity.
Right. Right.
So she has her boyfriend go to whoever's selling it, pick it up and bring it to her house.
Now, can we touch on the boyfriend for a little bit?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So in the reconstruction, we see, you know, her coming home from work and the boyfriend has retrieved this vanity and you see her staring at it, mesmerized by it, which, okay. And she's just staring at it. And then the boyfriend comes on the screen and I looked and I went, who are you? And I'm looking at him and thinking, I know you. And I'm looking at him and thinking, who do you remind me of? And then it goes, boom. Another throwback. He looks like a Bobo Jon Snow from Game of Thrones.
Oh.
Kit Harington.
Oh, Kit Harington.
It was straight away, you know nothing, Jon Snow. That was who he was, right? So I look and I go, boom, it's a Bobo Jon Snow. Then I spent the next 25 minutes finding out what Kit Harington's doing.
I thought for sure you were going to say, and then I remembered I did background work with this guy.
Seriously, I was like, I definitely did background with him. Or you know, all the other like massive, massive tiers of acting that I got to in Hollywood.
Right, right.
No, usually I know I'm always excited if I could see someone that I did background with. I was like, that would be a dream. But no, it was a Bobo Jon Snow. So then I was like, what happened to Kit Harington? So
yeah.
I'll tell you, because I spent 25 minutes, paused this, and then spent 25 minutes going down a rabbit hole, Kit Harington. So as we all know, Kit Harington, Game of Thrones was everything for the it feels like 100 years it was on, but it finished in 2019 was the last season. So I think it was really on about 5 years, maybe in production, 6-7 years, something. It was a long period of time with all these actors. And you remember, even if you didn't watch it, Game of Thrones was everything and everywhere. The biggest show on HBO, biggest show everywhere, Game of Thrones. And for a long time afterwards, you know, anticipating the final and the finale and the ending and all this happened.
Right.
Kit, I went on to his IMDb. He's been in like 5 things since then. And I'm like, this can't be right. This cannot be right. One of them was a fairly well-known show we had like a couple of episodes in. Then he did another HBO show, which had a couple of episodes in. Mm-hmm. Then he did this, something that looks like a student film. I swear to God, the rating was like 4.8. Then he did maybe two more films since 2019. Well, since he probably wrapped filming 2018 to 2023. He has like 5 credits. I was blown away by it. Blown away? What can I say?
I mean, imagine how much money they made doing that, doing Game of Thrones. He doesn't need to do anything.
But that's not the point, though. The point is that you get fucked on those shows. This is what happens to them. They have such a hard time getting hired again.
No one can see them as anything else, basically.
No one can see him as anything but Jon Snow.
Like after Harry Potter, I feel like.
Yeah.
Some of them didn't do much.
God bless those Weasley twins and all of the Weasleys. God bless them all. The majority of them never worked again. So it was just, I was going down his IMDb. I was like, you had everything for so many years. And then Hollywood just goes, actually, no thanks. That's a blow to the ego. Anyway, that was 25 minutes.
Maybe he's doing theater.
No, he did one. He did Henry the, Henry. Yeah, but that was it. That was in his IMDb. That was included in his 5. Anyway, listen to me judging him. Oh, not doing very well. Whereas I'm like, oh, I think I know that guy from background. I mean, give me a break. The cheek of me, so cheek. Anyway, Kate, they pick up the vanity. Vanity's back at the house.
Yes, and as you say, she's very transfixed by it. She's mesmerized by it. She's kind of, this actress is just ever so gently caressing it with her finger down the drawer. Mm. And she's gazing at it. And she tells us that normally she flips these in a few days and it's out the door and she sells it. But for some reason, she wanted to keep it around. And so she ends up keeping it and puts it in one of her rooms. And she says there's something strange telling her she shouldn't really touch it or mess with it.
Yeah.
You know, to like refurbish it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so then it's been at her house for 2 weeks or so, something like that. And she goes upstairs. We see her go upstairs. She hears her little daughter playing pretend and talking to someone. Mm-hmm. So she asks her, who are you talking to? Mm-hmm. The daughter says, the white lady. Who's that? She's dressed in white and really nice.
Mm.
Mm.
She's not gonna be nice for long, bitch.
No.
So the problem with this is shock horror, there's a problem with the show, is that it was so strange because they had the woman that was dealing with all of this, first and last name, giving her account of what was going on. And of course we do reenactments with something like this, I get it, but there was there wasn't enough narration from the woman that was going through it.
Yes,
you'd see the actress, the scene of her going into the room and the little girl going, and she said to me, the white lady doesn't like you, because this is where we get into that the child starts acting bizarrely because this white lady doesn't like the mother and the white lady is saying things, but you just see that as the actors portraying it. But there should have been the narration of the girl, of the woman saying, you know, I was walking to my daughter's room and she was saying to me that this white lady didn't want to be around, didn't like me. And I was listening to my daughter every night, change her personality, tell me that this, she was with this white lady all the time. Tell me the white, but we didn't get any of it. It's so unsatisfying.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Yes, most of the interesting little tidbits were not shown in this. It would just turn into a crappy B movie for a while.
Weird.
And you're kind of like, well, what is going on? And then, oh, she's back. The real lady's back. And she'd give us a couple interesting things. And then it would go back into this crappy movie.
And, you know, she's being interviewed and she's saying, I felt sick. I had no energy. And my daughter kept telling me about this white lady, and she was getting, but she wasn't even saying this. The footage, raw footage, that was showing us, you know, the little girl was getting more aggressive towards the mother. Mm-hmm, but then you'd flash back to her narration. She was like, her personality was changing. No, you should be specifying shit here. Then we'd get something that was half promising. She talks about these occurrences in the kitchen with the tap going on and off and drawers being pulled out, right? Mm-hmm. So then we get to a scene in with the actual woman, Amber, with the film crew. It's like breaking the fourth wall. You see the film crew in the kitchen and I'm like, okay, here we are now. We're actually going to get some like proper details. So yes. She walks over and she goes, this was the tap, and it would turn fully on like this, and then it would turn off, and then the drawers would come out, and then the drawers would close again. And that is what that's what kept happening. And that you see the film crew, you see the boom, you see all of this, but that was it. There was like no photos, there was no video, there was no interview with the daughter. I understand if it's a minor, you probably wouldn't want to interview, but it was like they were so close to getting something that seemed real, but didn't utilize her at all.
Mm-hmm. I totally agree. I was not getting enough detail about certain days, what happened. Like, walk us through a day.
Yes, exactly. I started to not feel very well. It's like, you know, when you go to an acting class and it's all about, you know, show, don't tell it. This was the opposite. It should have been, tell us, stop showing it to us. Do you know what I mean? Because we were just seeing these scenes, like you say, it was like a movie, but you have the woman and you're filming in her house. Take us through the house, take us through photos of the vanity, show us the actual listing of the vanity. She's got to have photos of it. It was a weird utilization of her.
And then I thought maybe they would figure out, where the hell did this vanity come from? Whose was this? Why is it haunted? Who did she buy it from? Did she contact them on Facebook?
Good point.
I wanted to see if there was any investigation into it. And then so the story is kind of progressing, like we say. So the daughter's getting aggressive with her, telling her to get out. The white lady doesn't want you here. She doesn't like you. She starts hearing voices and getting more isolated. Her boyfriend doesn't believe her and is telling her it's all in her head. Mm-hmm. And she ends up quitting her job.
We get this. She basically is, she's saying that her entire life spiraled. So she starts this by saying, I had a new job, a new boyfriend. I had a new place, a young daughter, and a new career in tech, which I loved. She's in Mississippi. We should have said that, in Mississippi. And then it's just this vague, I wasn't feeling well. And then you cut to a scene of the daughter saying the white lady hates you. Okay. And then you would see a scene, but it wouldn't be told to you. It'd be a scene of her seeing something in the corner of her eye. Mm-hmm. But Amber never really said a lot about what else was happening in the house. It was just these stupid scenes, right? And then she said it was affecting, then you'd get, it was affecting Amber inside and outside of the house. And then it was Amber quit her job. She's like, I was at the point in work, I couldn't concentrate, or not even that much. And then she's like, and I just left and never went back. Sorry, what? But what happens? Tell us what happened. It's like this read between the lines, roll footage. It's so odd. And the little girl, she's like seeing the little girl in places, or thinks she's somewhere where she isn't. Girls, she's having dreams. She says, my relationship started to go downhill. But there was no specifications of what kind of conversation she'd had with the boyfriend.
Right. And there's this, that scene of her daughter coming into her bedroom and speaking with a demon voice and then choking her. And then she wakes up and it's a nightmare. And she didn't say anything about that. And I was like, well, was that a nightmare?
Yes. Or did production was your just daughter, create this?
Was your daughter being physically aggressive with you? Yeah, it was a lot of montages of her just hearing voices and holding her head in her hands.
So strange. There is one scene that I'd forgotten about, Kate, that I just wrote down, and I hope that this stands out to you as much as it does now, as we're talking about these odd scenes that you'd see that stuff didn't make place, didn't make sense. So we have a narration and she's saying, I was making lunch for my daughter one day. The beginning, the opening of this scene is her put, this is so weird, okay? That it is just a regular throwaway scene of someone making lunch for a five-year-old. And she's in the kitchen with her back to the living room. And in the living room, she has like a little tent thing. And she can see the outline of her daughter and apparently hear her daughter. So the camera has her over her shoulder preparing lunch. It's a five-year-old. You're doing it for camera. What, peanut butter and jelly sandwich or a ham sandwich or something like that, right? Grilled cheese, soup, whatever. She pulls out two fish heads from a can and puts them on a chopping board. And goes, hey, it's time for lunch. I just remembered how weird that was.
No, I didn't notice the fish.
It was two perfectly cut off, severed fish heads. And she put them on a chopping board and was like, I was preparing her lunch one day. What were you preparing?
Ew. No, I didn't catch that.
I kept thinking that that was going to play into something. Like she went back and the fish heads were, I don't know, running under the sink or something, running under the water. It was such a weird use of, it made no sense to the story or anything that was going on. It makes you wonder who was, what Eli was on that day, because... makes yeah, no sense.
The props master is putting a jar of peanut butter on the counter and Eli's like, no, 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 no. Someone go slice the heads off.
You got to go back and see it. I'll get a screenshot and put it on our Instagram. It was completely maniacal. I don't know why that was added in there. It made no sense. Looney Tunes.
Weird. Was that the scene... because we eventually get to this scene where it kind of comes to a head and she...
No pun intended.
comes to a fish head. Mm-hmm. And she can hear her daughter talking, but she can also hear this old, creepy old lady voice.
Yes.
Talking back. And she goes into the living room or the kids' room or something.
Yeah.
I think it's the living room. And there's a couch and there's a doll on it. And the girl yells at... Or is that a bedroom? And the girl yells at her to get out, and then the doll head turns towards her.
Right. That's right. But then there was no narration of, I walked into my daughter's room because I heard two voices. Then I turned around, and a doll that had no batteries in was playing music. That's all we needed. But there was nothing.
So it made me doubt a lot of it because I wasn't hearing it from the horse's mouth, you know?
But you had the horse. Use the horse. Like, it made no sense. Her whole contribution for this was, I started to get ill. My relationship broke down. I couldn't get rid of the vanity. She tried to go and smash it one day with a sledgehammer, but I felt like I couldn't do that. She says the tap would turn on and off, but these massive scenes of like this doll playing and this, never heard her say any of that.
So, and then after the sledgehammer thing where she's like, oh, I can't do it. Then she decides she needs to get her daughter out of the house. Enough's enough. And so she has the boyfriend take her somewhere.
That's ominous. Listen, I don't know what was going on there. But yeah, give your daughter to your boyfriend to go and take her somewhere. I mean, that line itself is a Discovery Plus episode. God. But anyway, sorry.
And as the daughter is, she's in the back seat of his car. And as they're driving away, the daughter's waving to the white lady in the window. And then she proceeds to go in the house and battle the white lady.
No voiceover that any of this happened, apart from which you see this, like she says something, then you hear her say something happened and I was being choked and I woke up from being choked. Okay, well, what happened? Then it ends, by the way, how this ends, and correct me if I'm wrong, because I was really still thinking about Bobo Kit Harington at this point, but am I right in thinking that this vanity was in her bedroom, okay? And we are led to believe that the only way she got rid of it after her daughter was out the house, after the boyfriend was out the house, is she lit it on fire. Well, how did she do that in the house without the house burning down?
She must have taken it out in the yard.
Never shown, though.
But we don't know.
Because she was like, I don't even want to touch it. And then she's like, and I eventually got rid of it by setting it on fire. Well, where did you set it on fire? You mean in the bedroom where it was? Or did you drag it down on your own, flights of stairs?
Very heavy, right. Unclear, unclear. And what about the thing where she briefly mentioned that she wanted to get a priest to come bless the house or be there with her, but couldn't? Why couldn't she?
That made sense to
me.
Did
she say why? Okay.
Yeah, so she said I was, and they showed this picture of one of the most, they couldn't have picked a more cheesier, like haunted looking church. She said, I tried to go to a priest to help me with this problem. And in the Catholic Church, you know, we do believe in demons and we do believe in the afterlife and we do believe in exorcisms when needed. But not all priests will do them. There are certain priests that will not touch things like that. You do have to be trained to be an actual exorcist and be able to perform exorcisms. It is a ritual. And you have to be trained how to do it. And a lot of priests, apparently with her story as well, I mean, from what we've heard, it doesn't sound like anything, you know, but I mean, you know, who knows how she presented it. But some priests, if they think there's no threat, they wouldn't go through with an exorcism. And an exorcism is usually done on a person as opposed to a place. So she could have got a priest in to bless the house. Any priest will do that. But then she may not be, I don't know. I was like, are you actually Catholic? Or were you talking about a priest? Or were you talking about another denomination? Or I don't know how much she knew what she was talking about with that either. So she burns it down, right?
Yep.
And then,
yep.
Then it goes to black and we find out, then it's one of the, this, honestly, something weird was going on in the set and it wasn't the ghost. Because it goes to black and then it says she broke up with a boyfriend. And honestly, I thought they were going to be like, and she lost custody of her kid. I seriously thought it was going to be like something like that she was cuckoo. But she says she lost her job or quit her job. She broke up with a boyfriend and she moved away and that they still have paranormal experiences. So I'm like, oh, okay, kind of what goes on now? Then it cut to the woman. And this, I wrote this down. This is what she says in narration. She says, I don't work for a tech company anymore. But actually, sorry, I'm going to start from the top because I'm going to do it in the manner and the pattern that she said this. I don't work for a tech company anymore. But I do bartend, which makes fairly good money. What? What's that?
I was so bummed out that that's how it ended.
Are you talking about, woman? You went from a tech company to bartending. Yeah, okay, fine. But
yeah.
She genuinely was making out her job was like a CEO of Apple. I mean, she was like, I was a CEO of Apple. And then I just walked out and never went back again. And so she said, and I do bartend, which makes fairly good money. What? Need all these details. The details we need, love, is what was happening when you were getting haunted by the white lady. No, all gone.
And she's like, and by the way, my daughter still talks to ghosts sometimes.
Yeah, sometimes. I mean, we definitely still see stuff. My daughter still sees stuff, but you know, that's it. End of story.
Didn't know objects could be haunted. Now I do.
I honestly it was think odd. That it was so odd. The pace was strange. The mix of the narration and reenactment was jilted, just disjointed, made no sense. The fish heads, I'm not going to get over that scene. It is so odd, Kate. So you see her, camera's on her, opening a tin and pulling out one fish head and putting it on the chopping board, grabbing another one and putting it on the chopping board as a narration. So I was just preparing lunch for my daughter. What?
We need to get a screenshot of that.
I'll get it.
I want to see it.
Hey, let's refresh our listeners on our rating scale first.
Sure. Okay, so we rate every show that we review from the Discovery Plus TLC network realm. And we do it on a scale of 0 to 600. Mm. We got that number from My 600 Pound Life, one of the network's most popular shows. Mm-hmm. And we like to gauge our pounds of learning, if you will, as well as it's kind of become entertainment factor. How good was the show?
Yeah.
And so for this, I would give it, I give it like 175.
I understand that. I pushed it to 250, and that was being generous.
Yeah.
Eli needs to go back to sending naked photos on the internet, because this is not his jam. I don't know what he's doing. I don't know how we went from hostel to this. I really don't.
He's lost the plot. Yeah. he's
someone check on Eli. Someone check on Eli.
Someone DM him on LiveJournal and see what's going on.
It was bizarre. There is a second season, I believe, right, Kate?
There is. So this first season, these are 40 minute episodes. This is from the first season, which came out in 2021.
Mm.
And there is a second season. Mm. Some of the descriptions and, you know, images for the other episodes looked way scarier than this one. But I just didn't want to be that scared for this. So I picked one that seemed a little more mild.
I've got to find that show that I'm talking about. It was chilling. It was people recounting horrendous hauntings that they went through. And it the way it was done was really thoughtful. It wasn't like this. She or he sits in a circle and they're telling some of the family members or friends are there, excuse me, that have witnessed it to back up her stories. And then there are other people that they're telling for the first time. And there is reenactments, but they are done very, very well. And the majority of it is going around this room with these people saying, I was there. I saw when that cupboard opened and that stuff fell out the cupboard. It's crazy.
Is it called A Haunting?
Could be.
2005 is when it first came out.
I'd have to look.
An American paranormal anthology previewing stories told by the victims. They tell their terrifying encounters with the paranormal, narration, frightening reenactments, and religious content. Oh. Or is it Haunted on Netflix? Real people sit down with friends and family and share terrifying true stories from their past.
Oh, that sounds... because it is like friends and family.
Ooh, this is it.
Is it? What's it
They're
called?
They're all Kate? Sitting in a circle.
That's it. What's it called?
Haunted on Netflix. Tell me if that's it.
It probably is. I think so. I can't see any photos. It probably is. I'm telling you that. It is. Let me see. Actually, let me just play one. Where's my Netflix? Because I can tell you right now, it is a fantastic show, guys. And if you want to, let me see, play. I'm just going to just watch a little bit of Netflix while we're on the party. Watch a little bit of Netflix while we're on the party. Yeah.
Okay.
It's, guys, watch this show. So once again, it's called
Haunted. Netflix Haunted. There's three seasons.
And I remember watching it like in the day, and it was terrifying. Some of the stories are severe hauntings that people witnessed and went through. It's really good. Yeah. So watch that over this one any day. Well, Kate, I think what it means now is we're going to put Eli to bed, as he should be in bed right now because he's a disaster.
Good night, Blueberry.
Good night, Blueberries. Go get some more tissues. And we are going to head over to our beautiful, glorious Wheel of Shame. We're at our Wheel of Shame.
We're here. We've not been here
for a long time, Kate. Welcome back to our Wheel of Shame.
Happy to be here.
Oh, happy to be here. All right, we are going to spin this, guys, and we definitely need to do a refresh. I know we said this numerous times, but you know, TLC is really, a lot of the stuff on here is ghosts, sex, weird sex stuff, murder. So we'll see what and sister wives, which is a combination of all of that. So we'll see what we get. All right, so let's spin our wheel. Let's count down 3, 2, 1. Spin. All right, spinning, spinning. Give us a goodie. Give us a goodie. Give us a goodie. What do we get? Okay. This could be good. This is not Death and Damnation. We got something that isn't Death and Damnation for once. I can't even remember this one being on here, but this might have some kookadooks in it, which we love. It is called, check that it's actually still out there, Contraband. Oh, my lisp. Oh, dear. Here's my lisp coming in. Contraband seized at the border. Once again, okay. Contraband. No, once again, contraband seized at the border. See, okay. I think this will be like, I remember in England, we used to have these like, well, everywhere I think has them, but these airport shows where it's, you're following, they're like real early reality shows where you're following like border patrol and stuff like that. And it's all the kooks with the stuff that they have picked up in their contraband. So it'll be people's luggages getting opened and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yep, this is a newer show. There's 2 seasons.
Okay.
And it's people getting caught with contraband. Now I want to say contraband.
I know, I can't. I don't know if it's a lisp or what it is, just a general impediment. I get very like contra. Sorry, just practicing for my voiceover, girls.
I think you're a contra.
There you go. So okay, I think this will be decent, Kate, because I think there'll be some kooks in it.
This is different, yeah, and it's some things at the border. There's a car crash and counterfeit goods and lots of drugs, obviously. Mm-hmm. Wow. They're all wildly different episode, like a lot of different things. So we'll have to pick a good episode to check out.
We can do that. We will do that. And we will put it up on our Instagram, guys, which is Tender Loving Care Podcast. That's a lot of where our social media is based on Instagram, Tender Loving Care Podcast. Post every day. We respond to all of the DMs, so please feel free to write to us about anything your little beautiful heart desires, especially if it's about Eli Roth and his numerous bunkers. So yes, contact us there. You can always email us as well at tenderlovingcarepod@gmail.com. Where else can they find us, Kate Chinland?
We are on TikTok as well. Tender Loving Care Podcast, same handle. And we have a YouTube channel, guys. We're YouTubers. Like, subscribe, hit the bell. You can find us.
Hit the bell. God, we're such good YouTubers.
Smash that like.
Smash that like button. Before we go any further, smash that like.
Okay, so you can search for us there, Tender Loving Care Podcast. Type that in. You'll start to see us, our faces. So go
congratulations.
There.
You're
welcome.
Wearing matching shirts. Yep, absolutely.
Matching shirts, as much concealer as I can take on. By the end of the day, if I do have makeup on, it's a little bit smeared. So I have to just kind of like.
We do our best, guys. We do. Until we can get a full team glam in, this is what you're getting. So deal with it.
But that's okay because Zoom has a filter that I do utilize. So yeah, find us on YouTube, find us on Patreon. We have episodes twice a month, bonus episodes that you can listen to if you become a patron, and that is $5 a month. Mm-hmm. We cover all kinds of interesting documentaries over there. So go find us there, Tender Loving Care Pod.
And I think that's about it, right? Yeah, talking about Patreon, we have a new Patreon episode. You've been so patient with us. We have a new Patreon episode out this Friday. So we are back in the warm, loving arms of cults and a cult documentary. It is one, I think when it had just aired, I had put it up on our Instagram of like, has anybody watched this? So Kate, why don't you tell them the name? Because I want to get the correct name of, it's on Netflix. It's a documentary a lot of people have been talking about that we are going to cover for Patreon.
Yes. I feel like there's a lot of cult documentaries on Netflix right now.
Wonderful work. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you for your service, Netflix. So you've kept me for one more month. And I didn't realize this the other day. So I gave my friend my Netflix login, right?
Yeah.
And I now, you know how I love to go through my old shows and rewatch because of comfort, cozy. And I'm currently on Arrested Development. So I'm watching Arrested Development all the time on Netflix, and I go to do it and it's like, you have someone else is watching right now. So you need to upgrade your plan so two people can watch it. So you can have it on two screens. So I now pay like $16 a month for Netflix.
Criminal.
It's ridiculous.
They're just getting out of hand. It's called Escaping Twin Flames.
That's it. Escaping Twin Flames. We're going to be covering that shit show on Friday. So it will be out on Friday, as will our Bravo show. We're going to be covering the glorious Real Housewives of Salt Lake City, as well as the Real Housewives of BH. And I'd just like to say, I was listening to Danny Pellegrino, who I'm sure a lot of you know, and his podcast, and he refers to Morgan Wade. She stalked me. That's all I could ever think about. Guys, if you haven't listened to, basically, Morgan Wade is the rumored lover of Kyle Richards on the show. And they do this one hideously awkward scene and with a tattoo artist. And the tattoo artist goes, so how do you know each other? And Morgan Wade just goes, she stalked me. And I mean, my impression is outstanding, Kate. Would you not say?
It is spot on.
Thank you so much. But Danny Pellegrino calls Morgan Wade the honky-tonk lesbian. And every time he says it, I piss myself laughing. Kyle and that honky-tonk lesbian. I don't know what's going on. Kathy just posted a photo with Kyle at Kathy's Christmas party, one of 800 that she's been having recently, with Morgan. No Maurizio, as I like to call him. No Maurizio. But Morgan. I still don't buy it.
Stirring the pot. They're just fanning the flames, fanning the twin flames. Also, we need to update you guys on our holiday schedule.
Good point.
Yes. So we are going to be taking a much needed break, but we will be putting out content during the break. We will be re-uploading some of our favorite episodes from the past. So it'll be, let's see, December.
It's basically the week, 23rd, the week of Christmas. So that Monday that is 23rd is the 25th. Christmas is on a Monday, which is the 25th. That week, we will not have any shows up-to-date shows. We will re-release and have extra content for you guys. Then the following week is New Year's, and we will also be taking that off, but still putting out some content for you to hear from older shows way back in the archives. We're going to put those out. And then we will be back to our regular schedule. Mark it in your diary. Back to our regular schedule on the 9th. We will be hitting up that first 90-day show on the 9th.
Yes, and we thank you for your patience during that time. Like we said, we'll be putting stuff out, but there will be some travel going on and et cetera, et cetera. And we've been pumping out the episodes, so we just need to take a little...
We've been pumping it like Eli Roth pumps it. All right, we're into that dirty tissue. I've got to stop talking about Eli Roth. All right, we're going to love you and leave you. We're going to go. Thank you so much for watching, listening, because you can watch us once again if you go to our YouTube channel. You can see our glorious faces as we talk about all this nonsense. We love you. Have a fantastic rest of your week. We'll be back with you again on Friday. Bye-bye.
Bye. Good night, everybody.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.